Hello and welcome to the 45th Planet Destiny podcast. I remember this time. I have been up for currently going on 20 hours right now, so not my longest stretch of no sleep. I chugged some coffee and I refilled my coffee, so let's do this, baby! Alright, what's been going on in the world of Destiny?
Did you hit a Nuka-Cola? Sorry, that's Fallout.
No. Dude, the quantum, dude, come baby. On, dude, we're quantum. Already loot.
Get the quantum, right?
I already have to see it in the comment section. It's like, I'm not playing Destiny anymore. I'm playing Fallout. Now it's in our podcast, too. Come on, Depty.
You have to embrace some of the culture of Fallout. It's fantastic. That being said, yeah.
The Iron Banner with a new twist. It's Clash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And have you guys been playing a lot of Iron Banner Clash?
Me too.
I have been. I'm level 3 right now, so I like how it's different from every other Iron Banner we've played up till now. I liked Team Deathmatch in other games like Call of Duty. The roots are all different. You know, with Control, we played Control for a year straight because of the Iron Banner. You know, you're almost forced to. I don't want it to be Clash every week, but I'm glad that this week it's Clash. I'm having fun with it.
Black Shield is the worst map that has ever been made in any video game.
It comes up a lot, too.
Black Shield with a passion because
why do you hate it? Why?
Clash is a game mode with no set objective. Therefore, Black Shield, a map that has doorways, which don't need to be there, by the way. The doorways don't need to be there because the map geometry itself creates a perfect doorway. You already have stuff to hide behind in the doorway. You have corners. You have long hallways. And the only thing that the doorways lead to is camping, especially in the Clash mode when, you know, in any other Iron Banner, if you're camping on the inside, well, GG, you're going to lose because there's an entire other game mode going on outside of the map. Nah, with Clash, get the whole team, pile on in there, start making s'mores, pitch a tent, camp your ass off.
So Team Deathmatch is always going to be a camp-heavy mode, right? It's all about KD. Like, you don't win or lose based on how you play. You win or lose based on your team's collective KD. It's how people are going to play because it's safer to camp, right?
It's better to play passively and defensively. On that map, as opposed to just being
Map in Team Deathmatch. That's the way that players who aren't as skillful as, you know, the guys who can go out there and play super aggressive and get, you know, a 5 KD. That's how, you know, a player wins Team Deathmatch. That's how a team wins Team Deathmatch, unless you've got like really high level players on your team. So that map just really supports that style of play, I think.
Here's the reason why I have fun with this type of game mode for Iron Banner. If your team keeps crashing against the wall of whatever setup they have, if they're going to be in a room camped out, corner them off, trap them from the objective of the heavy weapons, and then use your supers to do what supers do, wreck fools. Mm-hmm. Where it gets frustrating is if you're playing Trials, or if you're playing Iron Banner by yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, you're playing with blueberries who just are like, okay, I've died 15 times going through that same door. I think it's going to work this time. You know,
he'll eventually run out of bullets.
They're going to run, but they don't. So I guess the challenges in Clash is if you're playing with a team, I find that it's a lot of fun, especially if you're communicating, because you can try to do different things and set up in different areas and zone out the enemy from, you know, getting heavy. But I'm with you, Patrick. It can be frustrating as hell when you're doing it by yourself.
So here's my feeling on it. And I've felt this way for a while now about Destiny's 6v6 game modes. I honestly think these maps were not designed for 6v6. Or if they were, they really need to take away the special, just like they do in Inferno, and limit, either take away heavy or just limit it to like one rocket or one or one and a half magazine of a LMG clip or magazine, because it's too chaotic. Like what Patrick is saying, there's no reason to get out of there because you just keep on spawning with all this ability to stay in one room and camp right there. And I get that you should play as a KDR focused. I totally get that what you're saying on that, Briar, but For the game mode and the number of players in it, I just feel like 6v6 is too much. 3v3s work out great, and if there was like a 4v4 mode, I think it would actually balance out really nicely. But 6v6, it's just chaos. in my opinion.
It's not necessarily the number of people. It really has to do with the objectives. The maps in Destiny are really designed around having objectives to move around in the map. But for Clash, when it comes to moving around the map as a whole, a lot of the maps just really fall short. That's just my opinion.
But skirmish play is very different. And skirmish is 3v3, essentially like that. Mm-hmm. 3v3 Clash with revives. And I think that's why I feel that the 6v6 version of it is just too much. There's too much super, there's too much special, and there's ultimately too much heavy when heavy comes up.
I don't know.
My computer is playing music, and I have no idea why. Like, I don't understand why my computer just started playing music.
You hit the mute button?
No, there's no music playing. I have nothing on. I don't even know this song.
It's a website. It's got to be a website and an ad that's open.
I'm looking for... There's nothing... Unless Destiny, like... No, it's not Bungie.net. That's the only website I have up. I swear to God. What is going on with my computer now?
This is a shame. I'm going to have to edit Pope's audio out because it's going to like hit a copyright strike or something.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
I seriously can't get it to stop. R&D I have no idea.
It's hilarious.
Really? Wow, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
I don't want to, like I said before, I wouldn't want to see Clash every week. I'd really like to see him rotate through all the 6v6 game modes with Iron Banner. I think that would give it kind of a fresh look every week.
But Rift or Zone Control, hell yeah, I want to try that.
Those would be great to play. Mm-hmm. Clash, I played it on stream and I just started getting the same feeling. I was like, oh yeah, do I really want to keep on playing this game mode? I've never been a huge fan of the 6v6 combat in this game, and because I feel like there's just too many variables that get added with all the supers and the special ammo that gets circulated throughout the maps. Now Inferno feels different. Inferno I like because a lot of that gets pruned down, but honestly, I like the skirmish game modes. The 3v3s are my top favorites by a mile. So
same.
Yeah, right. I would agree.
Do
with
you guys hear too. Music?
No
music.
I don't hear music.
What would you guys think about doing 3v3 game modes inside Iron Banner?
The only thing we could do would be Salvage, which I think
I would love it.
I can't remember if they tried that during the beta or not. I feel like they did.
Again, it's level advantages added to that game mode, and I enjoy that game mode.
The Iron Definitely. Banner is a weird thing, though. It feels like year one content, like especially when you compare it to Trials of Osiris. It just feels like old content. It's never really been updated in a meaningful way, as far as I can tell. What? It is nice that we're getting better rewards.
You get 310 artifacts now, Briar.
Yeah, it is nice that we're getting better rewards from it. But the structure of the Iron Banner, it always feels like it's either A, I jump in there alone and I just grind for hours on end, and I don't really care about the outcome because I know that eventually I'm just going to get the gear I want to get. Or B, I go in there with a whole team. And all of a sudden it becomes super tryhard because our team is getting matched up against other teams. And then all of a sudden it becomes like this kind of sweaty experience, which I actually prefer. I like that. You know, that's why I like Trials of Osiris too, is because there's tension there. But the rewards aren't there for winning. So it never feels like it never ascends to Trials of Osiris's, like, you know, everything's on the line right now. Do it or die, you know. Iron Banner just always feels more like a grind fest.
How about we see some type of like matchmaking ladders, or like let's see people get actual ranks from it or something, and then
I think that it's not an issue. It doesn't feel fresh every week. I know that we have some new armor and things like that, and that different stuff is dropping. But
paint on an old car.
I would like Iron Banner to look differently as far as it be a ranked playlist. You're right. Should we get a opportunity to play every weekend and play Iron Banner, should it mean more? And I think it should mean more than just the armor. I think it should be some place where it's competitive and it gives us an opportunity to make our values matter, because I think right now there's such a wide range of people that can kill you, right? It's not I think the Delta Four, like what you can die from, like who is the highest level to lowest level that can compete, is too wide.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, I don't think it really matches up the best armor that you've got. You don't have to. I'd like there to be a reason to go collect that higher like gear and to be able to show it off and to make it matter. Like if you're a 320 right now and one of very few in the game, you don't really have any benefit for being a 320 in Iron Banner to someone that's 300.
Yeah.
Wait, can you get 320 right
now? You know, you can feel it there, in the King's Fall.
I don't know if any, I mean, is there anybody? Is there anybody at 320?
Can you get a 320 artifact?
No. But what you can do is never pick up you can never pick up an artifact. And then that causes that artifact slot to not go into the equation. So it's just going off your total armor.
So that's why I've seen 320s. That makes sense. But
I've
seen up to 318s, right?
Yeah, I think I can get to 316 on my.
Yeah, that's as high as I can get. But it really doesn't matter in Iron Banner or Trials of Osiris if you're a 318 or if you're. I've seen people competing at 290.
I've been one shot by an icebreaker on multiple occasions in the Iron Banner, and seen people using icebreakers in Trials of Osiris.
Yeah, so it really,
absolutely, we need to have that delta adjusted so you cannot use a year one sniper rifle and still get headshots that count, because that is kind of ridiculous. Like,
I agree with you up until the point of No Land Beyond. I think No Land Beyond should just either get brought to year two or to just, you know, not get tuned by that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it should be brought to year two.
Yeah, I think personally, it's one of those guns. I think that they're eventually going to bring all exotics up to year two. To be perfectly honest with you, I think the game doesn't have enough content in it to leave that much of it behind.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see everything transition over, and they're going to do it in, you know, as drops and exotic drops and things like that
as updates go. Yeah,
yeah. I think we're going to get them as. To be honest with you, I think that they're going to be rewards that we see in the Nightfalls, and that's how they introduce them back into the world.
So you guys are, like, across the board are saying no to Clash and Iron Banner. You don't like it?
I would love to see it on a rotation with other modes. Like, I wish we would see Rift. You know, just go Clash. You know, Control, Clash, Rift. Control, Clash, Rift, you know, and do that kind of flow. And that way we know and we can set up with our teams and have fun.
If it was Rift this week, my interest level would be at least 5 times, maybe even 10 times more interested in Iron Banner, because it actually feels like a year two game mode that's exciting to play with the Iron Banner coat of paint on top of it and the possibility of getting rewards, which, you know, I haven't played enough to get those, but
the rewards are good. Like, I'm a level 3. I've already gotten, I think, 3 legendary pieces of gear out of Iron Banner, which is pretty good, especially considered how bad it was last time, a month ago.
I think people are seeing the ghosts drop in high quantities.
Are they?
Yep, high levels, I think the ghosts are only coming from rank 5 packages, right?
Mm-hmm. But once you hit that, I think it's understanding that, like, some people were messaging me on Twitter that maybe it's just them, but they were receiving a large quantity of ghosts versus everything else.
I want that ship, though.
Yeah,
it's all right. You know, I got it last time, and
I was in the fire team with you, Pope. So
I don't know what you're doing when you're going up to Bungie, but your drops right now, your RNG is off the charts.
Oh my god, it's so ridiculous!
Yeah, man. And which button push code do you put in for that?
All I want to know is that how soon can everybody else get it so that when I'm streaming, I don't get like that question every 15 minutes. What ship is that?
I guess Bungie heard you complaining last week and they just, you know, flipped the switch.
Well, I should complain more about stuff then, huh?
I know, right?
Get all those flips, all those switches flipped.
Yeah.
Well,
go for gold.
You guys want to hear a good segue? Well, speaking of flipped switches, they just flipped the switch on the weekly update while we were having the podcast. Snap.
Absolutely. Nice. I'm reading it.
Changes to auto rifles. A small increase to base damage. The low rate of fire ones, like Surge Regime and an Answering Cord, get a 3% base damage increase. The medium rate of fire ones, like Zalo Supercell or Monte Carlo get a 7% base damage increase, and the high rate of fire ones like Necrochasm, Arminius D, or the Trials of Osiris one get a 4% base damage increase.
Thank you very much, Bungie.
Yeah, that Trials of Osiris one is already pretty good. Now it's going to be baller.
Yeah, that's going to wreck.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how I'm going to feel about that one.
Well, I think the Zalo and area is the one that they're trying to hit here, and I think for a good reason. I find that the while the Zalo itself is impressive because it shocks, the shock and awe when you're getting shot with it is pretty impressive, and it knocks you off your shots and kind of feels like a heavy ammo gun is shooting you. But other than that, I think they're slightly underwhelming, and the medium rate of fire ones needed that buff.
That's this right. is the type of balance yep. that we were kind of asking for, and we're getting Absolutely. Changes, but more surgical changes instead of just broad That's right. sweeping ones.
All pulse rifles get a buff. All auto rifles get a that kind of stuff is done. Yeah. That's nice to see.
There's more tweaking, like more fine tuning, and that's what the game needs, you know?
Yeah, also I wanted to say that it actually is all auto rifles are getting buffed and all pulse rifles are getting debuffed.
That's right.
But specifically they're getting variations on each archetype.
Yeah, and I think I misspoke there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, I was just saying it is still it's still kind of broad, but at the same time, there's nuances in there that are going to be really interesting.
Right.
For the changes coming to pulse rifles, the low rate of fire ones like the Messenger or Spare Chains are getting a 9% base damage reduction.
That's big.
The No Time to Explain and Red Death types are getting an 8%. Oh, well, that's screw it. Medium, they're both both of them, actually. If I go one more line down, lower,
Patrick.
I guess
it really doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, like Hawksaw, No Time to Explain, Bad Juju types, basically all the types of, they're getting an 8% base damage reduction. But then the highest rate of fire ones like Grasp of Marok are only getting a 2% base damage reduction. And they're increasing the base damage against AI combatants to 1.3 times, and it was 1.25. So they are this is a PvP nerf. This is a PvP nerf, and then they're combating the PvP nerf by buffing them in PvE.
Like with the range reduction, my Hawksaw doesn't with the know range what reduction. Range means.
And it also has no bounds.
It also has perfect stability, and it's just like a monster. And now it's going to get an 8% base damage reduction, and the range is going to get cut off. It's going to be rough on my Hawksaw.
And cannons, thank God we're actually getting some changes coming to them, and they're actually changing the thing that needed to be changed that I spent so long explaining in the first Curse review. Increase aim down sight accuracy for more reliable shooting at close to medium ranges. Hey!
There it is.
There we go.
I like that change a lot.
And then I like right below that. FYI, Golden Gun is not and never will be affected by hand cannon weapon changes because they fixed that in 2.0. Thank God.
Yeah.
And then finally. The happy face.
Yeah. I was using Hawkmoon earlier today and the Water Star. And I'm really happy to see this accuracy buff come back in because hand cannons are my baby. I love hand cannons. I cannot wait to
Patrick, start. Have you seen the legendary mini Hawkmoon?
Legendary mini Hawkmoon?
I forget what it's called. It's called the
I have one.
Oh, I mean I depending on the role you get, and I feel like I got a pretty good one. That thing is really nice to use, and with these changes, it's going to be even better. I think it's actually going to be effective at close range.
So, shotguns. This is a wall of text. I'm just going to read through it. Shotguns. Reduce starting damage fall-off range to match melee lunge ranges. So, low range stat fall-off starts at standard melee range, and high range stat fall-off starts at blink strike lunge range. Final damage fall-off distance extends 0.5 meters longer for a smoother drop. Slower ready and stow times for all shotguns. Additional recoil across the entire stability stat range. Slower reload speed across the entire reload stat range. Slower time to aim down sights for all shotguns. Slower base movement speed when shotguns are in the active weapon. This is only for walk, run, and aim down sights. Sprinting is unaffected. Added 2 frames of delay when firing out of sprint. But they did increase the base damage against AI combatants to 1.6 times where it was 1.5. This is brutal.
That's rough. Yeah.
Okay, yo. Okay, let me state something real quick. I dog on shotgun users a lot. I'm sorry.
Everything got messed up here. Like, not messed up.
I was just like, yo, just take, well, just get rid of the Fellwinter's Lie archetype, and then we'll probably have really balanced shotguns. Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's true. So, okay, my only thought is that they are actually, it looks like they're stepping it back and being like, okay, let's actually make shotguns kill at normal shotgun range as opposed to some of this crazy range kills that it's been getting, and also reduce the ability to have quick shots from it like that. And I don't know. I think it might actually put it in a spot that's still really good. It's going to kill if you're up close with a shotgun.
Yeah.
You do have the little bit of delay added to it, but I think it's good that you can't just run around the map with just a shotgun. I don't hate shotguns. I like to use shotguns every now and then because it is fun.
We'll have to see how it actually feels once it happens, but this is crazy. This is a lot of changes.
This is all bad.
But think about this, though. Think about this, though. When 2.0 dropped, we were like, whoa, shotguns are now the only option for people who were just blink shotgunning. It felt like they took away the counters for the shotguns and made shotguns just a little bit weaker, but still had some insane range. This is actually going to put shotguns in the place that they're supposed to be, a close instant kill.
I feel like high risk, high reward. Yeah, Fellwinter's class, though, would have done that. I'm with Patrick. If you just deleted the conspiracy theory, the Fellwinter's, like that type of shotgun, that would have had more than enough effect. Because shotguns, you need to be agile. You need to be fast. You know, it's all about like kind of, you know, bouncing around the map, coming at your opponents from angles they don't expect you.
You're still going to be wanting to use the highest impact shotgun to make sure that if you hit your target, it's going to be doing the most damage possible. Like,
yeah,
we're still going to be getting killed by those shotguns, in my opinion.
But they're
I'm
be
not
a,
saying that's a bad
a shotgun
thing.
Range
saying,
is
like,
acceptable.
Yeah, I'm saying that, like, I don't know. I'm saying that I think people, they're going to be forced to use those shotguns even more now. So,
I don't get killed by anything other than like a conspiracy theory D or an invective or a chaperone. Like, that's all I see when I get killed by a shotgun.
I think the range, like the range things are fine, but man, the slower reload speed across all classes, additional recoil, the base movement speed, frame delays. This is heavy. This is
tough.
Well, actually, hold up. I just want to talk about like the frame delay thing. That's to combat people literally running around the map with just shotguns. It's to combat that. So you can't just blink through the map or Titan
just running out.
Titan boost skate. You know, and then be able to just pop out, boom, shotgun. Like they were, it's clearly the meta it's clearly the meta right now for those aggressive players. And when you're really good at that play style, you can crush. And I think Bungie sees that and says, okay, they have to take a wide reaction to that. And there's a reason why we're not using fusion rifles and so on and so forth. So it is pretty, it's serious. It's a serious nerf, but at the same time, we definitely need to see it in play to feel it. Because it might actually be in a really good spot.
Every archetype, every weapon should have its ideal encounter, you know, where it should win, all things being equal. And a shotgun wins too many times outside of its intended use. And so I think these changes are welcomed on my end, because I don't think that some of the guns should be allowed to cross over into the range of a sniper if they're a shotgun. So I know that's a little tongue in cheek, but I think that there are some, you know, things that needed to be changed, and I'm glad to see that they're addressing them.
I'm really not happy about that reload speed either on there, because that's like a PV, that's a heavy PVE nerf. Moving on to fusion rifles, they've increased the charge speed on fast charging fusion rifles, but reduced burst damage to compensate. Reduce hip fire stability for all fusion rifles and increase aim down sight and crouch stability for all fusion rifles. Reduction in carried ammo inventory for all fusion rifles. Oof. Increase base damage against AI combatants to 1.25 was 1.15. Okay.
I think with the shotgun nerf, it could open up an actual window to use fusion rifles. And I think they're aware of this, so they're also... Yeah, exactly. It would be great. It would be great to be like, you know what? This is a fusion rifle map. Because right now, that does not exist in the current...
Right now in PvP, this is sniper or shotgun.
Yeah. It's so It's so one or the other, black and white. And with these, with the nerf so far with the shotgun, this could absolutely bring in the fusion rifle game to be, if you're good with the fusion rifle, you're going to be able to tear it up with it, which is great. Because I think I've been killed by a fusion rifle three times.
It's rare.
Maybe?
It's so rare.
So far this year?
I think I've only been killed by Sleeper Simulant or Susano. I like fusion rifles in PvE. They're good. Telesto is going to be really happy, that's for sure. Moving on to sniper rifles. They extended sniper rifle damage falloff, so damage only reduces for very long-range shots. And look, in the chamber on snipers now only buffs precision damage!
Oh,
I'm so happy.
Snap!
They listened. I love my Irene RR4 with my hollow sight and luck in the chamber. I legitimately love this gun, and now I can use it in the Crucible without having to worry about, you know, luck in the chamber. I love this. This is
here. I'm in agreement with you there.
You might actually snipe a solar hammer and take him out with one shot.
Ooh,
wouldn't that be amazing?
That is what I want.
That could be amazing.
Absolutely,
that'd be cool.
Oh my god!
Moving on to sidearms, they increase the ready and stow speed for all sidearms. I suggest everyone goes watch KJ Hovey's most recent video where he's doing trials carries while using No Land Beyond in a sidearm.
Yep. But it shows how the sidearms being so fast to ready up can be an amazing second to a lot of guns.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just start off this exotic weapon tuning part here with some rage from me, because I am so happy and then I'm so pissed that they are addressing the first curse, because I just finished that weapon review.
Some people were able to watch it live.
Yeah, some people are able to watch it live every Sunday. the first curse perk now refills the magazine when activated and provides better stability, better target acquisition, and damage falloff starts further out while the perk remains active. I think that's literally what I said for them to do to buff it, except for I said it should like increase reload speed, and then the perk should last like a little bit past your reloading, so you know, whatever, this still works. Plus 25 to first curse base range, and they fixed a bug where the first curse perk would deactivate if the player summoned the ghost. I wonder if they fixed it when you switch weapons too. And then boost to imprecation base range and magazine size. So
imprecation is the weapon you use to get the first curse.
Imprecation is the crappy white hand cannon you use to get first curse. So I'm now interested in using the first curse.
Yeah, this is a cool change, man. Mm-hmm. Like the first curse is gonna get better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get easier to get.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
I'm happy. I'm happy with that.
You're not going to be happy about the next one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Hawkmoon has its reduced its base range by 20, and lucky bullets from both luck in the chamber and holding aces now deal 1.2 times bonus damage, where it was 1.3. So it's still going to two-shot someone, I think.
Yeah, well, at close range.
Yeah, at close range. At optimal range, it'll still two-shot someone if one of those bullets procs. It had a good run. I'm glad it's happening now, because then I can do a review on it once I'm done with all the other reviews I need to do. I can give it good new review instead of just slapping a coat of paint on our old review. The Chaperone. Reduce base damage, but they increase precision damage scaler to 1.75, where it was 1.1. So it sounds like
you're going to be able to res snipe.
With Chaperone?
Yeah, I think you're going to be able to, if with the increased damage now, I think you might be able to take somebody out with one hit on a precision.
That's brutal.
If they've been rezzed. Well, right now, I think when you have the damage bonus, it's like 273.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've gotten, if you've procced the exotic perk on it, then you get 273 crits on it in the Crucible, which obviously cannot res snipe somebody or kill somebody on res with a critical. With that damage increase, you might be able to.
It'll be close. Someone out there that's better at math, do that for me and post it in the comments.
You can't do the math till you know what they reduce the base damage by.
True. Yeah, that's true.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going from 1.1 to 1.75 on that precision scaler. So that could be enough.
We'll just have to see how much
they reduce the damage by. I think that's what the majority of players are using it for, those quick two-shot kills and, you know, hoping to get get headshots with it. Now it's going to be really important to get headshots with it.
Hey, Tefty, you know how you just did that mm-hmm. Fabian strategy review?
Yep. Like literally went out today.
Yeah, literally went out today. I think it's out right now.
All right. Frontline's perk on Fabian strategy no longer buffs fire rate or rate of fire as a bonus modifier. Frontline's now increases the base rate of fire stat to highest speed, and damage per bullet is offset to match the higher rate of fire archetype. So when you're up close and you proc this perk, Frontlines, you're going to essentially have like a doctrine of passing rate of fire and damage, right? I don't know if that would actually make it worth it using that. Because it's still really risky to get up close to proc that in PvP.
And the damage granted, in per PvE, bullet is offset.
It could be decent. Yeah, exactly. So the damage per bullet is offset. So it's like, it's still not a great reward. All right, next is removed extended mag perk and replaced with flared magwell. Remove small bore perk and replaced with rifled barrel. This is great, actually. Needed to make these changes to prevent shipping a magazine bug that could trigger when reloading the weapon while Frontline's perk was active. That's interesting. I noticed the mag was bugged a little bit on that mm-hmm. when you were rolling small bore. I think rifled barrel is way better for that range. It still lacks stability really bad.
Well,
so.
Read that next
one. And then... The next one, increased base reload and stability in the weapon to help offset the removed stat upgrades. So the question is, how much of a buff are they getting? Because as it is right now, it's below average, and it needs to be above average to warrant the exotic perk or the exotic slot that it is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Definitely, that's the one thing I noted.
Needs to have some kind of activity to it too. Right now, it's been proven. I guess that there is an effect. I didn't watch your review yet. Did you actually test the effect of the Frontlines perk?
Yeah. Yep. Like, so you definitely get a stability boost. Like it's noticeable on that.
Yeah.
But the rate of fire increase is literally like a bullet or two per magazine.
It's like two frames. It's like 2 frames per animation. Yeah. So like if it happens in like unloading the magazine takes like, I don't know. I've never counted the frames, but let's say 90 frames regularly. It's like 88 frames. So it's like you can hardly detect it by recording it and slowing down the video.
It was so minimal. I was like, it's just amazing that like that passed the filter test in Bungie as being an exotic perk. And what I would have liked to see, and I said this in the video, is that right now the Fabian strategy makes no sense whatsoever that it's limited to a Titan. Like, what is the purpose of just using this on a Titan? It doesn't make sense. So if they would have linked Frontlines to be also procced with, like, let's say, Force Barrier or Blessing of Light active, like if you had Blessing of Light active and then it would automatically proc Frontlines for you, like that would synergize as a Titan and it would make sense that it's a Titan primary. As it is right now, I don't know if it's still going to be useful switching to the highest rate of fire archetype when you're really up close to people. Because you have to be in shotgun range, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Moving on to Black Spindle. They removed the scope upgrades from Black Spindle Talent Grid, since it only has one scope, and then replace it with barrel upgrades. So we'll be getting some stat mods. Ooh, maybe we'll get aggressive ballistics so we can do even more damage.
That'd be good.
That'd be awesome. Does anybody hope that they stuck with ambush?
Yeah,
I really hope
I don't really care what scopes on the Black Spindle. I usually just stand there and fire at somebody's head for 2 or 3 minutes.
I just aim it at Golgoroth's belly anyway. I can probably hit fire the thing just fine.
Sleeper simulator.
We took the opportunity to address some pretty unanimous feedback about the ammo inventory. The maximum inventory for the sleeper simulator was buffed from 7 to 9. I'm pretty sure I said that in my review. Yay. Ammo swap exploit removed. Weapon no longer converts ammo from a different heavy weapon to full inventory.
That sucks.
That sucks because it seems so damn fun to use.
That was like an exotic perk right there.
Yeah,
I know.
I thought
inventory no longer benefits from fusion rifle armor perks, but does benefit from heavy ammo armor perks. So can we get some heavy ammo armor perks?
Yeah.
Yeah, because are they blanking getting it? Like, so it's both rockets and machine guns, or is it still year one heavy ammo perks?
Just year one, the heavy ammo perks like that. I think it only means the year one heavy ammo perks.
So just to clarify for the listeners, in year one, there were heavy ammo perks on boots, like you could or chest armor. You could get chest armor or boots that said you could have more heavy ammo. But in year two, they separated it between you could have more heavy machine gun ammo or you could have more rocket launcher ammo. But there is none that says you can have more heavy fusion rifle ammo.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was using
it. I think there's one exotic chess piece. Isn't there one exotic chess piece that has it in year two? And that's
really?
Starfire Protocol?
I think so. Yeah,
One of the Warlock
that
ones.
Actually has
one of the Warlock ones works. Yep. One of the Warlock ones does work for. I think it might be Alchemist Raiment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's literally it.
So
for year two.
Yeah. But I mean, as a good thing, you know, everyone is getting an increase from 7 to 9. So
yeah, that is nice.
Those two more shots, you get 3 full mags of awesome fun time, and so just
that
two
thing
and
is a beast one. Too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's one of the most fun guns to use. Bring it into old content, especially bring it into face Atheon or Crota. It's a
I need to go back and face Sepix with that thing.
Sepix. Oh, Sepix. Tether him and then hit him with the sleep assimilant.
I haven't visited that loot pinata in quite a while.
So all in all, what do you guys think? Like, you know, there's a lot of changes here. I think pulse rifles are getting a pretty big nerf. Auto rifles, I mean, it could be that auto rifles become the new meta from what I'm looking at.
Well, yeah, listen, that Monte Carlo might be the new jam. I'm just saying.
Monte Carlo
is already
be...
good. And it's going to destroy.
There's a really interesting build that I put together with the Sunbreaker Titan with Monte Carlo.
Right? With the Sunbreaker?
Yeah, the Sunbreaker. Mm-hmm. I just found a way to make it powerful. I know it was kind of weak before. So there's two different ways you can build a Sunbreaker, one with the sunspots, and the real powerful one was with the explosive, you know, pyre, and it's like... Mm-hmm. That one, right, Immolation Fist. But there's another way that you can use them, and it's with these sunspots. And there's also a melee that when you punch, it creates an explosion in the sunspot, right? I tested it out the other day, and with these buffs, it's going to be amazing. Maybe even good for PvP, but definitely in PvE with like trash mobs and things like that. The Monte Carlo will feed your melee. Your melee then, based on your armor, will produce more grenades, and the grenades feed the melees. And you sit there and you proc over and over and over again. And I tested it and it just absolutely destroys. And so I'm going to put together that build and kind of write it up. But it was a fun, fun way to go. And I think that now that the auto rifles will be more powerful, it's going to be a viable way to use that other part of the Sunbreaker.
I think the biggest takeaway from this whole set of changes is that we are, is it 2 months? We're coming up on, I guess 3 months would be in December. Yeah, I'm not thinking correctly. But anyways, it's like 2 to 3 months on a major weapon rebalancing from something that it hasn't grown old yet. Like even though Hawksaw and Norwin's Mercy and those various archetypes of the pulse rifles have become the de facto, it hasn't grown extremely stale like the Thorn meta was.
Right.
And now we're actually seeing them respond right now already with a major update that is definitely going to rustle some jimmies. Some jimmies are definitely getting rustled out there from this update. And I think that's great. I think it's good.
Yeah, it'll be fun to see what the new secondary meta feels like with, you know, shotguns are really getting nerfed. Sniper rifles are actually getting a buff. And there's a lot of talk right now that in the community that sniper rifles might be a little strong as it is with all the aim assistance they have.
I feel like the true shotgun people are still going to shotgun, and I think there's going to be new people that decide to pick up fusion rifles and are going to be extremely, extremely talented with them. And I think the people who like the sniper are going to stick with sniping. I think if anything, with an aim assist change, I think that might be a major change in Destiny 2 when that finally hits, where they kind of give a whole new coat of paint over everything, and then maybe as a whole engine start reducing some of the aim assist that exists. Then again, they might keep it because it does make it friendly for people to jump into the game and try stuff out.
To hop in and just start killing right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm really hoping the fusion rifles become viable because to me, they're like the most unique thing in Destiny's kind of arsenal. And they were a ton of fun to use. I know they were overpowered in like vanilla Destiny, but they were a ton of fun to use because they could kill from really far away with one shot, but you had to charge them up. So there was like some strategy involved in using them, and I loved it. And I hope they become at least usable, like at least a legitimate part of the meta.
Fortunately, the Trials of Osiris auto rifle enthralled me so much that I started building armor sets around it, so I have everything ready for auto rifles. But I think if I hadn't had that perfect roll drop on that auto rifle, I don't think I would have it right now, and I would be in the same spot you guys are. I think there's going to be a lot of people in the community that are going to be struggling or searching for that auto rifle setup.
Well, also, not everybody has a Jesus RNG like you do, so.
Yeah, there's that. There is that. GG. I really am surprised at how nice that auto rifle feels in PvP, and it's going to be fun to see what this new buff does to it.
I haven't had one drop for me, and I'm looking forward to getting it because I see it a lot in my kill cam, frankly. And you've been talking it up for a good 3 weeks now, so I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that thing.
Mm-hmm. What is the role you have, Pope, that you enjoy on it?
I have persistence, which procs pretty quickly because of the high fire rate. Mm-hmm. Then I have counterbalance, and I believe it's braced frame.
Oh, nice!
It's all stability.
So it's
I have to look at.
It's all stability.
I think I have four of them. I need to look at what they have.
I've had a bunch other ones drop and they're all trash. Like I'm like, oh my god, I can't even hit a thing. It's like all over the wall. And
interesting.
And it's with this one particular role that just feels so solid. And I don't lose many gunfights to it. To be honest with you, in the old setup, even without pulse rifles getting nerfed and auto rifles getting buffed, I was winning a lot of those gunfights against pulse rifles.
So there's some other stuff in this weekly update as well, by the way. First up, we're going to be getting some new exotics with this December update. Two of them are exclusive to year two, and others are weapons and armor from year one that have been upgraded to keep pace with your level 40 character.
Yay.
Ooh. So,
We know what the two that are coming in.
Yeah, it's probably the Hunter chest piece and the Titan chest piece.
Yep, Twilight Garrison.
Yeah, Twilight Garrison. Good. So maybe I'll finally be able to get one of those. Do a review on it.
I'm almost more excited about getting old stuff back. The new stuff, for some reason, just doesn't have the allure as the old stuff. It's not as good.
Want my bones of AO. Want those back.
Mm-hmm. How excited would you be to get your bones back or your Mida multi-tool back or, you know, some of those.
Oh, man, I'd be ecstatic. Dude, I want my armamentarium back.
Yeah.
Oh, next week, they're going to be talking about the challenge mode in King's Fall Raid for normal and hard mode.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there's going to be challenges in normal and hard mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's really great to hear.
So there was some thought that this was going to be like a separate mode for the raid, right? And I think that can be dispelled now. Now there are going to be specific challenges within the raid, and that's cool. Man, that's going to add some replayability to that raid.
We might have to end up doing like a quest to activate the challenge. That's what I imagine.
Sword-only war priest, or is it going to be like you have to kill the war priest?
I'm pretty sure it'll have to be
no heavy weapons. Like you have to,
I'm pretty sure for the War Priest one, it's going to be like you have to kill him with his modifiers active in a certain manner. Like have all three of his modifiers active when you kill him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to head out. I am going to be supervising an event this evening, and I need to go.
Have all fun, right, Pope.
Thanks, guys, for everything. Good, and you guys have a very good. There's lots of stuff to talk about, and I'm looking forward to. Jumping in there this evening and playing some of this stuff. So I'll just go ahead and do my outro. You guys know where to find me. I'm Pope Bear. Find me on Twitter at Pope Bear. I stream on Planet Destiny and we do lots of stuff there. Come and hang out and see you later, guys.
See you later.
Later, Pope.
Cool. Later, Pope.
Okay, so now that Pope guy's gone, let's answer Twitter questions.
All right. We got one from Rezo Deception at Deception with a bunch of
stuff.
Yeah.
There.
When do you think the year one exotics will be transferred into year two?
Well, shabam. Yeah. Weekly update.
Weekly update.
Funny you ask.
Answered.
we're probably starting to see the beginnings of that.
Yeah. I mean, we've already started to see the beginnings of it. And I think it'll continue for the entire year. And my guess is that it'll kind of finalize with, you know, the last DLC of the year. The Gjallarhorn will be like the return of the Great Gjallarhorn for defeating the big boss of the final DLC of the year.
It's going to be like the Summer of Gjallarhorn.
The Summer of Gjallarhorn.
2016, and then it's nerfed again.
It's like the Summer of Love, but much, much deadlier.
Yeah. Yep. More destruction.
Q at JSwift46 asks, how to make auto rifles competitive? Again, well, funny you should ask.
Yeah, funny you should ask. Wow.
So I picked amazing these questions before we read the weekly update this week.
It's fine.
Yep. In a competitive sense, you should be rewarded for accuracy, and accuracy is rewarded towards scouts and pulse rifles. Mm-hmm. So there should be an edge with those weapons if you are an accurate
and
shooter.
And hand cannons.
And hand cannons, yes.
Okay.
It's just that nobody has love for hand cannons right now.
Yeah.
Because of the,
nah, you can't,
I do.
The last 8 months was just so awful.
Nah, Thorn really, it's like...
I have a distaste for Thorn, and to a lesser extent, what Last Word used to be, but... No, hand cannons, aside from, you know, those two black sheep, were fine.
Yeah, Hawkmoon's two-shot kill I always thought was a little cheesy, too.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, it's cheesy.
It's great. It's great when it worked for me.
Destiny Talk at Destiny Brood says, why does Iron Banner have the worst lag when other playlists are fine?
People that normally probably aren't doing PvP and joining up into these... you know, playlists are going, hey, this event is active. I see this reward. Maybe I want to go get it. Whatever. My guess is there's people that are normally not doing PvP jumping into the Iron Banner that normally just don't do PvP because they're lagging or something like that. It's also a timed event. So you're going to be seeing a just greater number of people doing this one specific event than the normal dedicated Crucible folk.
Theoretically, though, more people would mean less lag because the more people that are available that you could get match made up with, the better that pool should be, right? Is the closer they should be to you, the less lag there should be, the closer they should be in
matchmaking. That is true. That is true in theory, but this is Bungie's matchmaking that we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which
I think ultimately it's their netcode and their peer-to-peer network that it just feels like it hasn't been updated for a long time, and I'm not a network engineer, so I could be talking completely out of my ass on that, but it just feels like it. In comparison to other games on multiplayer, it just their peer-to-peer connections seem to be awful, and it's like they rate whoever they find first over ping. So that could be it. So they, instead of like sorting these maps or these connection speeds by ping, they sort them by who's ready to play right now. Mm-hmm. And favor that over getting a good game. And I think anybody who spent a little bit of time in the Crucible would prefer ping over getting a match right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Iron Banner, you also see a lot of people leaving games like halfway through because they figured out they can't win. And I think that creates a lot of lag because the game might have to switch hosts. You see a player like just standing there and you can't damage him. That's because he's actually not in the game anymore. You know, stuff like that, I think happens a lot more in Iron Banner than it does in normal playlists.
That's true. Also, I think people tend to jump into a group with each other, maybe LFG it.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's peer-to-peer connections, you know, if you're connected up with a buddy who's across the states and across the world. Yeah. Maybe his Wi-Fi is via the university.
Mm-hmm.
And that university hardly gives you any upload speed. Then you're going to have lag, but you keep on playing with them and then him or her. And then they introduce lag for everybody in that match that they get matched up with because of the peer-to-peer connections.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of this guy. Michael Tash, you guys ever anything?
Get any yeah, everybody. He's kind of a dick.
What other games are you guys enjoying while between Destiny content drops?
Oh, Tefty, what have you been enjoying?
What have I been playing?
Yeah.
I've been playing all the big ones that have dropped.
Yeah.
Battlefront, Fallout. The Tomb Raider is amazing.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Tomb Raider.
Visually. Holy crap, man. Get ready. Like, there was times where I was like, oh, God, I have to do something because I was in the middle of, like, a cinematic experience. And suddenly it's QuickTime events for this thing. Like, when you play that intro, you're going to be like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is some next gen stuff.
The last Tomb Raider was phenomenal. I was really pissed off they released that on the same day as Fallout 4. It just seemed like business wise, it just seemed to be such a poor decision because I know I'm waiting until I finish Fallout 4 to play that.
Right, and that's going to be a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you on that. I don't know why they did that, but I do say it's so far what I've played is fantastic. Visually, it's stunning and it's awesome. But also Battlefront, holy crap, Battlefront's amazing.
You're enjoying Battlefront?
It's a great game. Oh man, it is so fun. You go in third person, and it's like you're in a Star Wars battle.
Plus, it has dedicated servers.
Oh, the connections feel good. Oh man. It is so fun. Big I've been having a blast with that.
Yep, 20 versus 20.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Holtzman, I've been playing Microsoft Excel Simulator. Spoiler warning for Metal Gear Solid 5 story, if there is such a thing as a story in that game, your entire base gets like an infection or something, and then you have to like quarantine people, and you just have to like go through every single member, and at that stage of the game, you have something like 600 members in your base. And you have to individually go through every single one of them.
Oh my God.
You were not joking. Microsoft Excel.
Yeah, it's just straight up Microsoft Excel Simulator. I misclicked like two or three of them. And I had to go back through that entire list again.
That sounds awful.
Good Lord.
It was absolutely horrible. It was a good 20 minutes of my life that I can no longer get back. Like, basically, you know, you cure the infection or whatever. And then later on in the game, you get like a voice message saying, "Boss, the infections come back," and I'm like, "God damn it, I'm letting all of them die. I'm not doing that again."
I've been playing a little bit of Black Ops 3, which I like, but I think Trials of Osiris has kind of ruined me on multiplayer games in general. Like that game mode is so much fun, and there's so much on the line, and it's so sweaty and try hard that I love it so much. It almost feels like you have your own little competitive gaming environment just tailor-made for you. And there's just nothing like that in other games. So that game is, yeah, I like I agree it. On that. You know, it's fun, but it doesn't fulfill that need for me anymore that Call of Duty used to. And Fallout 4 is just phenomenal. That's been my like just sit back on the couch and chill out for 4 hours and play some Fallout 4 and just explore. I love that game.
Yep.
Nathan Grinke says, "I'd love for you to talk about Iron Banner weekly bounties being too easy. Do you guys think they're too easy?"
They are a reflection of what the game type or of what Iron Banner is, and they are a grind. They're not necessarily easy or hard. They just take time to complete. So that's my opinion on them.
I kind of hardly notice them, to be honest with you. All of a sudden, this notification pops up on my screen. "You have completed a bounty." I'm like, "Oh, okay. I'll turn that in now then."
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is for me, too. I never even pay attention to what it is. I just somehow complete it sometime during the week. I'm like, great.
Eduardo Dominguez says, "With most FPSs out right now, is Destiny one of the best so far?"
I would say so. I mean, given the gun dynamics and the feel of the game, it is still and absolutely is one of the best FPSs out there. When it comes to actual servers, like obviously it's got a huge disadvantage for competitive play, and its peer-to-peer connections tend to suck. But the actual experience of the first-person shooter itself is top notch, and I don't think you can find it anywhere else. So Fallout 4, the gunplay is great, but it does feel added on to an RPG system.
Bethesda did have some guys from Bungie help design that.
It's way better than it was in Fallout 3.
Yeah, way better than it was before, but it's still not as good as something as, say, Call of Duty or even Bungie, obviously, what they put together. Battlefront definitely feels like you're in a Star Wars movie, and all the bullets have travel time, significant travel time. You have to lead your shots like tons. There is no hit scanning weapons, at least that I'm aware of. So there's that to consider. And also the bouncing is really great on it, but it is a specific experience. Call of Duty feels like Call of Duty. Like the maps I think are great. And I think what they've done with Black Ops 3 is fun, but it still feels like Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're looking for, then you're going to get it there. Halo is a very, very specific balanced competitive environment sandbox that is specific to the Halo world. And it has a pedigree to it. There's nothing like the Halo sandbox except for Halo. So there's that experience to it. And then Bungie has created Destiny, which feels, which bridges that RPG / really great first person shooter mechanics together. So I personally think that Bungie has something that nobody else has.
Yeah.
In the feeling of a first-person shooter. But all of them have their flavors to them, and that's my summary.
Yeah.
I agree 100% with you, Tefty.
A lot of talk has been like, you know, Destiny's dead right now because, you know, it's off of the Twitch main page, right? It's like, I'm not worried about Destiny. Not at all.
Oh, I'm not worried. Yeah. I think it's great that we have all these options that are coming out, and I think it makes Bungie sweat a little bit, and Lord knows a little sweat never hurts you.
Yeah.
It's good for you.
It's so fun for gamers right now. I mean, these games mm-hmm. are good. It's
great. Oh, man. It's such a great time to be a gamer.
It is a good time to be a gamer.
Bowser asks, how can Bungie get people back into old content, and do they need to?
I think the No Time to Explain quest was actually a really good way.
I agree with you. That was phenomenal. Going back into the Vault of Glass, like having to complete Atheon again, that was really fun.
I think the more interesting thing is, do they need to? How do they get them by is kind of irrelevant. It's just, you know, they can do a quest or something, make people go in there. I mean, they kind of design the game. But do they need to make people go back into old content?
I think they do. I think the biggest complaint out there right now for Bungie is still the lack of content.
Mm-hmm.
And like the fact that the Taken King was so good, but just basically erased Prison of Elders, you know, Crota, Atheon, like all that stuff just fell by the wayside because there's no reason to go back in there except for like what you just said, No Time to Explain and go kill Atheon. I think they definitely have to find ways to reuse that for quests, for, you know, exotic quests like No Time to Explain, because that stuff is some of the best content in the game. And if you're just coming in, like if you're a year two newbie, you don't even get to see that stuff. You just hear stories about it.
Yeah, it'd be great if there was if they introduced an exotic quest that had to go kill Skolas. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Because I haven't killed Skolas since July.
Yeah, me neither.
It's been a long time.
It was like I finished getting all my exotics from Prison of Elders. I was like, done. I think I maybe ran it one or two other times when someone was like, I've never run it and I really want to do it. I'm like, I'll help you.
Yeah, I ran it a couple more times for the moments of triumph. But before that, it had been like a month and a half before I ran it. And then I haven't run it since.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's literally no reason.
No.
There is still reason to run it, actually, right now. It's a very good source of motes and strange coins. And depending the bosses that are in there, or depending on the encounters, you can actually farm Three of Coins stuff in there really well.
Yep.
Crucible right now, I think, is a better way to farm for Motes of Light and Strange Coins. So they're dropping like crazy.
How many are you getting at the end of a match?
I'm often getting one or two at the end of a match, depending. I mean, one or two of either or. Often.
Because, I mean, at the end of a Prison of Elders thing, you're guaranteed at least like two motes and then two strange coins.
Yeah, but that's like an hour's worth of work.
Oh, no. Your level scales so well in there. If it's you and then two other buddies, you could breeze through Prison of Elders in about 15 minutes.
15 minutes. Well, that's about the time it takes for a...
I think...
yeah.
For a control match.
Yeah.
For a control match.
I think you're talking about the lower level stuff, right? Not Skolas.
Yeah, the 32, 34.
I think my last question is from Santi, and it's, what's the drop rate of helmets for Oryx? I must have done the raid more than 15 times.
I think the helmet's supposed to be the chase armor piece from the entire thing, because it only drops from Oryx, but then Oryx shares a loot table with everything else in there. It's an artificially difficult thing to get, which is stupid.
It is. It's rough. And like once you've like Santi here, once you've done it like 15 times, it's like,
yeah,
all right, man, like give me my reward. You know, like it's time.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get one with like a pure strength roll on it or something.
Right. Yeah.
Or a normal version with a 300 roll on it.
Ooh.
Exactly. Oh, man. I think I've only got, that was the one I got, actually. I got a 300 roll on my Hunter, and I was like, oh, great. Okay. I think, it's interesting. I think I've only had two out of all the normal runs, and I haven't had a hard one drop for me so far. I've pretty much done it every week.
There was one, this is just going to sound like me, you know, showing off, but it was like 2 weeks ago I killed Oryx, and like, it was something like six things popped up for me. It was, I got a normal mode helmet, a hard mode helmet, three primary weapons, and then an exotic. It was
wow.
It was stupid. It was stupid.
Three primaries?
And all yeah, and all the weapons were all the primaries were scout rifles. With the same roll.
I just got the normal mode shader yesterday.
How do you like it?
Oh wow.
I don't really care about it that much. I want the hard mode one. But I mean, yeah, it just—I like mean, that just looks goes like to show.
From a butcher shop.
I never got a full set until yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've run that 3 times a week every week.
Oh. Yeah, when you equip that shader with the raid armor, you kind of look like you've just been skinned in a butcher shop. You kind of like meat coming off you, right? Mm-hmm.
The hard mode one is pretty cool. I think of all the yeah. hard mode shaders, I like it the best.
Yeah, that one it makes me jealous.
Yeah.
I want to look like I'm from Tron or something.
Yeah. Speaking of from Tron, that's one thing that we didn't talk about in the podcast. Did you guys see the refer a friend rewards?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, there's a sparrow. I think there's two emotes. There's
one of them's a high five.
Yeah, one of them's a high five. Like you can do it with another guardian. There's an emblem and then a shader, which I think that's like. When we were asking, what do you think the rewards were? That's pretty much what we said we yeah. would probably get from the referral
cosmetic rewards. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm fine with that. I don't need something.
Yeah.
I don't need some sort of game breaking thing. Exotic.
No.
But it looks like it's going to require you completing a quest to actually get those rewards.
That's cool, though. I mean, it's brilliant on Bungie's part to, like, you know, all right, you got your friend into Destiny, but now you don't want to play with him because he's not high enough level to raid with you or play Trials of Osiris. This mm-hmm. kind of like gives you an incentive to go play with that friend you just sold Destiny to, basically, yeah. and like help him get up to your level. I think this is brilliant on Bungie's
yeah.
part.
Like, yeah, I hope that quest is at like, you know, like 280 light or so, something like that, because that's a mm-hmm. that's a healthy level. Like to finish the quest has like the interior of the quest has like a 280 requirement on it. That'd be nice, because then you could. Because then after that, he'd be, like, high enough to run the normal mode raid if you have a couple yeah. other people.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
And I think it'll be pretty significant. If you're getting all of those items from doing one quest with one blueberry or with one newbie, you know, it's going to be a pretty significant time investment, I would guess. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, that was the 45th Planet Destiny podcast. We are nearing our 50th episode, aren't we?
Ooh. Yeah. Five more. Yeah. Five more weeks.
And I think next week is going to be Thanksgiving. Next week is going to be Thanksgiving during our normal recording time. So, you know, we're still going to put out a show, but we're going to pre-record that way in advance because I got a turkey to cook. All right. I got a turkey.
I got
boiled
dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had boiled turkey?
Actually, I have had boiled turkey.
A Cajun boiled turkey, just Cajun spices, boil it. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Delicious.
Highly, highly recommend it. Easy, very easy way to cook a turkey. Anyway, we'll put something
gluten-free stuffing for all of the people that are gluten-free out there. I do gluten-free stuffing for my turkey.
I just don't do stuffing. Mm-hmm. That's my gluten-free stuffing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just make more gravy.
Gravy. Mm-hmm. Wait, do you mix wheat flour into the gravy?
Mix Wondra flour, because I'm from the South.
Oh, is that what? I don't know what that is. Actually.
I don't know what it is either. It's Wondra flour.
It probably has wheat.
Probably does. It probably has like MSG in it too, which actually isn't bad for you. But I mean, just hey, whatever. I'm not complaining. Makes gravy delicious. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning into the 45th Planet Destiny podcast. If I am Patrick Casey. And I'm also sleep deprived. If you want to find me in an unsleep deprived state, you can watch a play of our YouTube videos, or you can tune into Twitch and probably see me sleep deprived.
I'm Briar Rabbit. You can find me at the Briar Rabbit on Twitter. You can find me on the Briar Rabbit channel on YouTube, or streaming on the Planet Destiny Twitch channel.
I'm Tefty Teft. You can talk to me at Teft on Twitter. You can catch the streams I do for Planet Destiny on twitch.tv/planet_destiny. And check out my YouTube Let's Play videos on my own personal channel as well, where I have where I'm playing Fallout also. Crazy, right?
Traitor. Crazy. All right, guys. Oh, yeah, and then Pope's already left, so we don't have to wait for his send-off. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to the 45th Planet Destiny podcast. We will see you next week at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.